This is Katie Breedeman for Catholic Charities. On this Voice of Charity podcast, we feature our behavioral health services that have expanded over the years to offer counseling programs that address a wide variety of mental health concerns for individuals, couples, and families. Join me as I speak with two longtime Catholic Charities leaders, Pam Davis and Hector Rivera, to discuss how these counseling programs helped 2,400 adults and children last year as they journeyed toward healing and wellness. So delighted to have you here with us this morning. It really is a privilege to speak with both of you here today. Together, you have over 60 years of experience working with people who come to Catholic Charities for assistance with their mental health concerns. Can I ask you each to please share with our audience how you first got involved with Catholic Charities? Pam, may I start with you?
Absolutely. I was a year out of college when I moved to Chicago from out of state. My previous experience had been working in a nursing home as a social worker. So when I moved to Chicago, I wanted to work with seniors. I wanted to continue that work, but maybe prevent the need for nursing home care. So this was before the internet. And what I had to do was go to the Blue Book, as it was called, which is the Directory of Human Service Organizations. And from that book, I was able to identify organizations that serve seniors, and I blindly sent my resume to many of them, and was my amazing good fortune that I got a call from Catholic Charities, and then shortly after was offered a job. And here I am 32 years later. I never could have imagined that this would lead to such a fulfilling and amazing career.
Well, Catholic Charities is the lucky one, I think. How about you, Hector? How did you first start with Catholic Charities?
So I majored in social work in undergrad and needed an internship. And I did my internship with Catholic Charities. And as soon as I graduated, they offered me a position as a caseworker. So I worked with them for 3 years in their foster care department. They actually, at the time, really encouraged and subsidized pursuing a higher education. So I returned to school to receive my master's in social work, and worked in as a caseworker for a very brief moment, and then became a therapist. And then over time, I moved into a supervisor position. So Catholic Charities has been so grateful that they've really supported my education and career.
Well, you've done tremendous things at Catholic Charities. We're so fortunate to have you both in these key leadership positions. Can you tell us a little bit about what was the behavioral services department like when you first started, Pam?
When I first started, behavioral health as we know it today didn't exist as it was. It was spread throughout the agency. So for example, after I worked with seniors, I went back to school. I had great generous support from the agency as well. I got my master's degree, and when I came back, I was a counselor in Family and Aged Services, which was a program that worked with economically disadvantaged families that were facing barriers to becoming self-sufficient. They did not have a way to pay for services, and we provided comprehensive, holistic case management and counseling services to them. And then there was a sister program that provided counseling services to people who were who did have more resources, who had insurance, and could pay for services. And that was more traditionally office-based, whereas Family and Aged was providing services that were community-based.
And Hector, you had mentioned working with foster children. Was that a significant portion of the behavioral health services department when you first started?
Yeah, so when I started at Catholic Charities, there was no behavioral health services. We were mostly sending referrals outside of the agency to other counseling programs. Very little time did we refer internally. It wasn't until I came back from school after receiving my master's degree that the foster care contract increased and they were able to build internally counseling services for youth and their parents and families who were involved in the child welfare system.
Well, and I'm guessing too that the expansion of behavioral health services, you know, part of that is so important to the growth of the family, right? That when they see progress from a behavioral services standpoint, relieving people's mental health concerns, then they have much more positive, clear thinking mind to improve other aspects of their life. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so, are there any events or milestones in the history of Catholic Charities that are especially memorable to you, both of you, who have been with Catholic Charities for more than 30 years, both in the growth of your department and the agency overall?
I'd like to start with some external changes and factors that impacted behavioral health treatment in the country and then certainly at Catholic Charities. And one of those was, the first one was the Mental Health Parity Act in 1996 that required insurance companies to provide behavioral health services at the same rates as they paid for medical care. And then that act was also tweaked in the early 2000s. And then a couple years later, in 2010, we had the Affordable Care Act, which required all Americans to have health insurance and also to allowed the states to expand Medicaid. So many more people in this country had access to health insurance and were able to access mental health services.
Well, and it was just a growing awareness of how unbelievably important mental health is to someone's overall well-being. Right, Hector?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, when foster care closed, Catholic Charities maintained the counseling portion of foster care because they knew how important it was. So at that point, we were able to start putting up other systems and gaining other contracts where we were able to work with more children. And then eventually, in 2017, 2016, we started expanding with grants and contracts, not only with youth, but families and also with adults. And then Pam mostly worked with adults who needed behavioral health services. I worked mostly with youth. And then a couple of years ago, Catholic Charities decided that it was a better idea, which was a lot more logical, to bring us all together. This way, we can use all of our staff to work with all age ranges.
And are there any events or milestones in your career, Hector, that you also feel were significant to the growth of the behavioral health services impact area, but also just to the growth of the agency? Any specific things come to mind?
I think it was being able to tap into more grants that really was focused on helping children and adults who were victims of crime. That was part of it. I think Pam also did point out a lot of the societal things that were happening as well that added to those changes.
I would add the pandemic really changed behavioral health services because of what everybody was going through during the lockdown, and then the focus that on social and health inequities, the stigma was reduced, and it made it easier for people to ask for help. And then also during the COVID emergency, a lot of federal and state laws were changed to offer flexibilities in providing care. And that is how we ended up doing so much telehealth. And now that's a permanent thing that's available to people. So it makes it so much easier for people to access services.
Well, in telehealth, like you said, it was one of those things that people might have been a little bit reticent, you know, to try before, but the pandemic kind of forced it, and
Absolutely.
People saw the advantages of being able to log into a session right from the comfort of their own home, and people are so busy today, it probably saved time and an effort and made the whole process of engaging with people much easier, right?
Absolutely. It was a game changer for people who needed services.
That's
and
wonderful.
Couldn't get them before.
That's wonderful. And I know that you each probably have so many hundreds of stories of clients that have, you know, left a lasting impact on you. You know, are there one or two that each of you could share that would help our audience really appreciate the range of concerns that people come to Catholic Charities with, but also how you've been able to help them? Pam, can I start with you?
Yeah, sure. It's really hard to choose one. I've been just the privilege to walk through and accompany, as you said earlier, our clients through some of the darkest times of their life. I have learned from each of them, and I have grown, and I hope I've given them just some of the same.
I am quite sure you have. You're such an experienced, compassionate person that I think that anybody who walks into a room and sees you or walks onto telehealth and sees you is a very lucky person indeed. How about you, Hector?
I may echo Pam on that. It's so hard to really pinpoint one story or just a couple stories, because there's so many. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned from working with all of our clients, both youth and adults, is just how resilient humans can be after experiencing so many difficulties and traumas in their life, and that they're able to still find joy. You know, and bring that joy into the sessions. Like Pam said, it's been such a privilege to be able to work with so many people and colleagues as well.
But I also think a big part of the success of what you do is your gentle but effective professional way of helping people talk about what they've been through, right? Because isn't that part of a big hurdle, that just getting people to open up and be comfortable sharing what they experienced and what they're feeling is probably a big part of what you do, right?
Absolutely. Building the relationship is pivotal. If we don't have a relationship, it's hard to help facilitate the healing.
And so just building that relationship could take weeks or months in itself, right, Hector?
Very much so, yes. I think that's one thing that with working with youth who have experienced multiple negative traumatic experiences, that trust is so important that it can. I mean, there have been clients that it's almost taken a year to build that trust, yeah, to get to the essential work that they need to continue coping and become successful in life.
Thank you for listening to this Voice of Charity podcast. Each show airs live Tuesday mornings at 8:30 on WNDZ 750 AM in Chicago, with a simultaneous live stream on YouTube and Facebook at Catholic Chicago. We invite you to learn more about ways to get involved at Catholic Charities by visiting our website, catholiccharities.net, or by sending an email to partners@catholiccharities.net. Join us as we continue to improve lives and nourish spirits across Cook and Lake Counties.